The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
We're looking ahead to next week's two-star pitchers as we normally do here on the Friday edition of the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Clay Link here with FSWA Hall of Famer Todd Zola. Great to be talking with you, Todd. We're going to be doing our normal two-star pitcher thing, grading them on a 0 to 5 scale. 0 meaning hands off, 5 meaning deploy him everywhere. So that'll be fun to do that as we normally do. We'll talk about some pickups. But we got a superstar player back yesterday, Ronald Acuña. It was good to see him back, and 2 steals right away in his first game back, Todd.
One of them was in the back end of a double steal, which is fine. I mean, they count, yeah. Right? And let's temper just a little bit. But yeah, absolutely good to see. The crowd went nuts. I mean, yeah, it's absolutely great to see. Especially, was it yesterday, the day before, we heard the news about, well, let's not call Mondesi a superstar, but we did hear the news that Edelberto Mondesi is out for the year. So, in with one, out with another that we kind of expected, but even so.
Yeah, I feel terrible for Mondesi. I did mention on the radio show, like, that sympathy does not extend to his fantasy managers because they told us their expectation. But I do feel sorry for the kid. He got all the talent in the world, but having some issues staying on the field, so. We'll see what Mondesi, his recovery goes.
This was I don't know, it's a fluke, but, I mean, getting back to the base, little stumbling and tearing the ACL. So, I don't have sympathy or whatever for, fantasy managers. Everybody makes their own decisions. But this is not what we, if we're always going to get hurt, maybe we just expected anything. And maybe this is what we expected. But, on the bingo card of what's going to keep Mondesi out, I don't think, tripping back getting into second was on it.
No, I think that's fair, but he wasn't doing much for that Kansas City offense, and I was looking at the runs scored, and they're actually dead last, and they've played a couple fewer games than the Reds, but hard for me to wrap my head around them having fewer runs scored than the Reds. So they're gonna have to figure something out, maybe Pasquantino, maybe Melendez in time. We'll have to see, but offense at Kansas City is a struggle right now.
They have they've got some options with Whit Merrifield being able to swing back and forth. Kyle Isbell, Edward Olivares, a couple of names you mentioned, Pasquantino. They have some options. And it's not like any of these guys are the savior, and if they were to get hot, it would be coincidental, not because of one of these other guys. But yeah, you need a spark. They've got some moves. Let's figure it out.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see, but yeah, they're dead last in scoring, and Bobby Witt's struggling to start his big league career, so strange situation there in KC.
Found it a little interesting that management said we're going to keep him at third and let him develop at third base as opposed to another. Maybe it isn't strange. Maybe it's the right move. On the other hand, maybe putting him back to shortstop, where he's comfortable, and I don't know, there's a bravado about playing shortstop. Maybe that would help him, right? I don't know.
Then you could slot Melendez in at third when he's ready.
Right. Well, oh, yeah, you got Lopez at second. You could use Hunter Dozier at third and open up the DH for Melendez.
Yeah. And maybe part-time DH, part-time third base for Melendez. That could work.
So the point being, they're taking the tack of leaving Witt at third base, let him get acclimated. I don't know. I think that maybe – I think maybe you want to feed into the youth and enthusiasm and what may seem to make sense about, you know, letting him get his footing at one spot and moving back and forth. Moving him back to short may actually give him a little confidence, right? I mean – Cool. If you're the lead announcer and you're brought down to the second podcast, you know, the number two guy, you know, your performance is good. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, and then when you go back to lead again, you know, you're going to get Clay's confidence, make him the lead again. I'm being silly, but no, I think there's something to it anyway.
Well, yeah, I saw, you know, Kyle Isbell got the start in the outfield yesterday. Today it's Edward Olivares. So most of us were on that Olivares train at some point last year.
And off and on and that off, shuttle and on yeah. and off. I'm sorry, what?
That shuttle he was on. We hopped on as well. Yeah. And so, you know, most people have been burned, but there are still, you know, those numbers at AAA were pretty exciting. So I, you know, with the part time, it kind of dings both Isbell and Olivares, but maybe one of them eventually emerges. Not a lot last night in the RotoWire Stakely, kind of a thin fab week, at least right now. We'll see if anybody emerges over the weekend, but Austin Gomber was the highest priced pitcher. Yeah, he's got to go into Coors, but Gomber, you know, neutral, context neutral, is not a bad pitcher.
And he defeated Coors last year, but we keep saying doesn't mean it'll happen this year. So
undefeated.
That's kind of, you know, it's a trap. You know, saying that Gomber's good and he can pitch well in Coors, it's a trap. Now, just a theory, okay? Maybe an educated theory, but it's just a theory. Coors Field might not be as bad as normal this year for home, you know, because if there's some increased air resistance in the ball, and I know the fences are further back, and well, not that's not what I mean. I know that the air is thinner and there's just less natural air resistance. The ball has to be in the air longer with the fences further back. So I wonder if the whatever it is that is making the ball not fly as far is actually exerting a higher force than the lack of air resistance in Coors Field. In other words, because the ball has to go that much further, maybe it's even harder to get a home run in Coors Field this year. Again, just a theory. Until we know what's actually going on with the ball, we won't be able to prove or disprove it. But on paper, there may be something to that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was watching the Reds broadcast the other day, and they were, I think it was Jim Day, they're like, you know, kind of sideline reporter, if you will, kind of was saying that the players themselves notice a difference with the ball already, as you'd probably expect. But just taking BP, hard hit balls in games, it doesn't have the same sound off the bat. So
I'm laughing because I'm sure you've heard the same interviews. Pitchers are not noticing anything, but hitters are noticing a dead ball. Yeah. Funny how that works, huh? Yeah. I haven't noticed, you know, but,
Who was the pitcher? Was it Chris Bassett? Bassett was mentioned and he felt the balls were different.
They are. And not only that, there's inconsistency, even more so than normal, the feel of the ball. And who was it that was saying that they had to throw six or eight balls out of the game a couple days ago or yesterday because the balls were dented?
What?
I should have tracked that down. I thought it was on Twitter. But I don't think it was on the radio. I don't. But yeah, they're saying there's like a dent in the ball. That's not right. And that's like a batting practice. You know, we used to play softball. You only get one ball a game. By the fifth inning, the ball's mush and dented and whatever. That's this is Major League Baseball. You know, if someone looks at a ball in a stern way, they throw it out of the game. You know.
Yeah, that's true. It does feel like a mush ball though, and feels like they're playing baseball with a potato out there. So we'll see if maybe there's something in time, maybe as the weather warms up. I'm just hoping we get more offense.
It's the loss in fly ball distance will not be completely compensated by the weather. That's what's scary right now. Besides, it's been warm in Colorado. You know, it's kind of weird how April, the temperatures in Colorado are among the warmest in the country. And we'd think that normally it would be Coors Field going goofy, but it's just not. I'm crunching some numbers and I'm going to have some average fly ball distances, with the exit velocity, and doing it by ballpark to compare. I mean, it's a little. I know there's a lot of. Sorry about this siren. Hopefully, this is an occurrence. They're not coming to. Maybe they are coming to get me. I don't know. I'll have to figure something out if it isn't. Apparently, I live right across the street from a fire station. Before it was a hospital. Now it's a fire station. You'll notice new shades in my background. I should lift them up, and then I couldn't see my monitor. But maybe it's better if I don't see the grades and just give them out off the cuff. But anyway, kind of, can you tell I'm a little bit fired up from where you're rambling and going up and down stairs? My legs are like cement. Yeah, interesting. Good stuff.
I'm glad you could make time. You know, I know you're busy with the move.
My job. But, it's my job. I got to do this. Yeah. But anyway, no. So anyway, so yeah, there's a lot of reports about the humidor. And I love that people are thinking about it, but it's – it's too early. You can't compare right yet. There's just not enough data right now to make any decisions. And when you throw all the parks together, well, now I have a big enough a sample. You know what we don't know? We don't know how the balls were stored last year. We don't know what parks stored them in air conditioning, what parks stored them in a hot room in the corner. So it's a difference in storage. It's not just the weather itself. So there's a lot of decisions, and I actually wrote about this kind of sheepishly on RotoWire this week. A lot of stuff being reported as fact, it just isn't. And I understand wanting it to be fact, but because we want it to, doesn't make it so. So, all right, rant over.
No, I think that's a good point. I want to see offense no matter what. Like, I just want to see it tick up because last night I was looking at the scores from around Major League Baseball. 3-2 Brewers win, 3-2 Marlins win, 2-1 Rays win, 3-2 Astros, 5-2 Royals, 1-0 Blue Jays, 4-1. I mean, it's just the unders are coming.
You just want it to be fair, right? Yeah. If a guy hits a ball good, it should be a homer, right? Yeah. We just want to watch the game and not have to comment, right? You know, happy fun ball or mush ball. You know, is it sad? If it's happy fun ball, is it sad mush ball? We got to coin that. We got to talk to Erickson. We got to talk to Jeff. Make it the sad mush ball.
Yeah. Do not taunt. Sad mush ball.
Just want it fair, right?
You know? I just want my old game back. I just don't like this game as much with offense tamped down.
But some
pickups from last night in the RotoWire Stake League. It's a 14-team mix league, just to keep you updated. Sheldon Noisy was picked up for $6. I picked up Andres Munoz for $6. I was kind of happy with that, just given the skills. I know it's part of like it's a five-headed monster basically there in Seattle. But
if one of the heads were to emerge,
yeah,
wouldn't it be Munoz?
I think so.
Because the guy's
got like a 50% K rate right now.
Right. And the others have already kind of been in this committee. And if one of them was going to emerge out of the committee, it would have already happened, right? So maybe it's just because we don't know, you know, if Munoz will, the opportunity's there.
Hansel Robles picked up for $6. Kyle, I know you're a hater on Robles.
Hate's a strong word.
Well, not a. Yeah,
he's
not
actually
hate.
Pitched a lot better than in my head. Uh-huh. And Alex Cora happens to like him. And between Matt Barnes, Jake Diekman, and Hansel Robles, this is visual, I'm sorry, where I keep my blood pressure medicine, I'm going to need another one of these.
By the way, B shots it in the chat. I'm seeing Clay in a whole new light today. I don't know quite what he's referring to.
It's because I'm dark.
Oh,
I think it's relative to me. It's because I'm in my new place, and like I was telling you offline, if I open the shades, the natural light, I can't see my screen, my monitor.
Yeah, that's right.
So right now I've got the shades down.
Maybe he was referring to maybe he hasn't tuned in since I shaved my beard off.
Oh, that could be it too. But I think, in order to make yourself look skinnier, you stand next to me. So now in order to make yourself, lighter, but you're right. You might be right. It might be a little bit of both.
Yeah. I can't really make myself look skinnier, unfortunately.
Well, we could.
Jose Quintana picked up. He had a pretty nice start against the
Brewers. Someone lose a bet?
I think it's just desperation. Michael Lorenzen was still out there. I kind of like that pickup.
Wow. Yeah. I like that.
Madison Bumgarner, somebody stashed Nolan Gorman. Anthony Bender was picked up. I actually thought about him, but I had him behind Munoz.
Yep.
Just because it looks like they're going to have maybe Floro back pretty soon. Cole Sulcer got a save yesterday.
I mean, it's off topic, but aren't you going to tune in for Wainwright and Bumgarner tonight just because? Make you feel a little younger.
I've never,
make you feel like a little younger.
I'm not fond of either of those guys.
You got Pujols. Well, that's right. I forgot the division. My bad. Yeah. But you got Pujols and Molina both playing. And so I'm just old. It makes me feel younger when those guys are in there.
I'm glad they're having that last dance together in St. Louis. But I've been the biggest.
Forgot about it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, at least
Cardinals guy.
You can at least put Brandon Phillips in their face.
Yeah. Love that, dude. I've also picked up Rafael Montero. So I got Andres Munoz and Montero. I know Ryan Stanek got the save. What was that, Wednesday? But then Montero got the save last night. So
shaky, but he got it.
Hard to figure out. But it doesn't seem like.
No, it's easy to figure out. There is nothing to figure out.
You think it's neither until. Neither's worth picking up. Yeah,
it's easy to figure out. And same with Tampa. We just this is what it is. It's a bunch.
Yeah, you're probably right. And we don't really know. Presley could be back at some point. Threw off flat ground today.
Yep.
Wearing a protective sleeve on his right knee. So
yeah,
we'll see when he's back. But maybe a short window for Montero, Neris, and Stanek to pick up saves. Paul Sewald picked up. James added Joey Wendell for two, dropping Luke Voit.
Wow.
Jake Berger. Like you like Wendell?
Well, I know it's 14 teams, but he's good. And third base shortstop eligibility, I just think that he's kind of a useful. Yeah, I mean, if you had him in there since day one, you probably were looking for a replacement. But I don't think – I assume he was dropped because I had to figure he was drafted. I just think he's a nice bench and or back-end play at either corner or middle. I think he's going to produce for Miami. A little surprised that he was available. That's all.
Jake Berger for two. Looks like with Eloy out, maybe Gavin Sheets and Berger see an increase in time. Ryan Stanek was picked up. Santiago Espinal, who's been faring pretty
busy.
Well.
It was a busy night for you guys. I like that.
Yeah, not a lot of like big names, but everybody's pretty active wanting to avoid buying a couple stakes.
Well, I think there's some big names in the league. You're in the league. Oh, you mean the players.
You mean the players. But yeah, and that's debatable either way. But Chad Kuhl. Chad Kuhl's actually been great, but still skeptical there.
So who's going to pick him up and get the bad stuff to account for the good stuff, right? Isn't that what normally happens?
Yeah, you go chasing after the good starts and you get stuck with some terrible ones. Yeah. Michael Franco, Yandy Diaz, Alberto Mondesi, the drop there on Diaz. Anything else on your mind, Todd, before we get into starters for next week?
Not a whole lot. Like I said, moving and apologize for any noises that we hear. And let's get to it. Now I'm running a little blind. I did what I ran them, the numbers. I didn't put the innings in. So I get five for everybody. So I'm going to a little bit off the cuff, up or down. But like I said, I kind of like the way this new system worked last week as far as where pitchers got placed. As we'll find out, it's kind of a middle week where it's not terrible and it's not the aces either. So this is kind of an important week to know when to throw in their double starter.
Wow. Some big news coming down just in the past few minutes. According to Jeff Passan of ESPN.com, Trevor Bauer has received a 2-year suspension from Major League Baseball. So, you can go ahead and drop him. I see a tweet from Bauer, and he says, quote, on Twitter, in the strongest possible terms, I deny committing any violation of the league's domestic violence and sexual assault policy. I am appealing this action and expect to prevail as we have throughout this process. My representatives and I respect the confidentiality of the proceedings. So that's pretty big news on Bauer there.
He hasn't sued me yet. I think there's like five of us left that he hasn't.
So maybe we
sued.
Should just move on before before he sues us. But yeah, that's. I just wanted to pass that along because Twitter's kind of blowing up.
Yeah,
and it also doesn't appear to be retroactive. So
yeah, I mean, when you have a 2-year suspension, what does it get reduced to? A year and a half? I mean, what are you going to do? That's kind of weird. I mean, it's kind of an odd. But man, you think at MLB. Especially because they've had all this time, would make this a bulletproof, and maybe that's a bad expression, a no-brainer, a Teflon suspension that he can't fight, with all this time, really gone over it. Oh, we know he's going to appeal. We better make sure that we're covered, anyway. All right, let's get happier things. 2-star pitchers.
Yeah, let's get into the week of May 2nd already. So we're into May.
Imagine that, yeah.
Don't panic too much if you're down in the dumps. We'll continue trying to help you. And as long as you just put your head down and grind, you will surge up eventually, even if it's not to the number one spot. You just got to keep putting your best lineup out there every week. That's really all you can do at this point. Zach Gallen's been fantastic. He's at Miami to start next week. Then he's versus Colorado, so he gets the Rockies at home in Chase Field. So, you know, I'm a little reluctant to say five, but I think Gallen's a five. I think I have to go that.
No, he's number 15 on my list. I think I'm going to go five.
I'm with you. Any concerns about Charlie Morton so far? He's at the Mets, then versus Milwaukee. I think if you drafted him, you know, you just have to start him. But I think I'm going to give him a four just to kind of, I don't know, I guess just kind of reflect my trepidation a little bit.
I'm going to try to do it, and I have super fast internet now in the move. It's like nice. 1,000, like 1 gig. So I should be able to, if this stream is getting to you faster, it's because of my internet. Last year this time, remember, he was terrible, but it was all bad luck, and he sure turned it around. I don't know if, you know, BABIP or whatever this year, I'm going to give him a five. Because he's Charlie Morton and he hasn't proven otherwise yet. All right. Now, having said that, it is faster, huh? His XFIP is 5.32. His FIP is 5.73. So he's not bad. He's not pitching poorly. Not unlucky. He's pitching poorly. And his Sierra is at 5 even. So when the three of them all kind of line up, you know, there's something going on there. Walks 5.5. If you believe he's going to walk 5.5 a game, and then I guess it's either a five or a zero. You believe or you don't, you know, realistically, practically. You're stepping on my pun. I'm in a weird mood. I don't want to rub salt in the wound. Anyway, da-dum-dum-t.
Oh, I just, you know, I do have a little bit of concern at this point just because the walks are up, the K's are down, and the homers are up. So it's just, you know, at his age, you just always kind of have a little concern, I think. But, yeah, I got a four because, you know, I'm probably starting him everywhere, but he's just, you know, not – right now for me, he's not in that five bucket.
Yeah, he's got four starts, and he only has 18 innings. I don't know that I can't project him for five, but if I were to drop him to a four-inning projection – then he would drop into a four. So I'm going to stick with five, but I understand where you're coming from.
Well, before we move on, I forgot to do this a few minutes ago. So let's pause momentarily. We'll be back with more two-start starters, but we'll take care of a little business and head to a quick word from our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we are back on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Cleveland here with Todd Zola and grading out starters for next week. Not a starter for Baltimore next week, but I'm excited to see what Kyle Bradish does tonight. And if, assuming he fares okay, holds his zone, he'll get home against Minnesota next week. But it is Tyler Wells and Bruce Zimmerman for their starters. Zimmerman's been really good. I'm reluctant to buy in. Tyler Wells is a zero. I will at least give Zimmerman like a God. I feel like this could be a trap. It is two pretty good matchups. I guess I'll go Bruce Zimmerman three.
You mentioned a perfect word, trap. Zimmerman's performance has been fantastic. But you look at the underlying metrics and the velocities and the pitch mix, there isn't anything different. Maybe it's the ballpark. I don't know how many home and away games he has. So I'm kind of with you. I feel it's a trap. He's coming out as a zero for me. I have not added in the last week's stats yet, so maybe he'll get raised up. And these are good matchups. And I maybe didn't adjust Orioles' Kenman yards enough for how it's being playing. But I'm gonna go with a one because I have not seen enough to be convinced that it's a materially different pitcher.
Yeah, I'm not convinced either. So I'm actually gonna bump mine down to a two. I got two, and then you got a one on Bruce.
Yep, that makes sense. That's good.
Yeah, three seems a little off. So I'm glad you talked.
You know
me
what?
Off of that.
The thing is, he might be a three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
But I don't know that we. I just don't know that we've had enough evidence yet to be able to say it. I mean, 21 Ks and 19 and a third, six walks. That's, you know, it's all right. One homer, you know, he's going to give up more homers. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's a little early to make a huge jump.
Yeah. You need to see more, and I'm with you there. So I'm glad you talked me off the three on that. And Tyler Wells is zero for you, I imagine.
Yeah. I liked Tyler Wells in the bullpen in a short role. I just don't know that he's got the stuff to handle, three times through the lineup.
I'm with you. I definitely need to see a lot more of. He needs to prove more than Zimmerman does, but I still need Zimmerman to prove a little something more to me. I'd love to get your thoughts, Todd, on Michael Wacha, because I haven't got eyes on him. Have you been able to see any of his outings for Boston? Because he's got a 1.77 ERA so far.
Yeah, Mr. Changeup. He's and he started to develop it towards the end of last year, and he's carried it over, Wacha. And I mean, it's still, I mean, the strikeouts, you know, he's not really even a batter an inning. It's still kind of a touchy feely kind of Miles Michaelis approach where when he's on, but any particular outing, if he's just a little off, he can get crushed. So I'm more optimistic think more highly of him than I did coming into the year. But I mean, let's not go overboard, right? Last time out against Toronto, six innings, five Ks, two walks. I mean, it's nice. You know, one earned run, that's also nice. But I don't think we're seeing, you know, I'd rather hear a fastball exploding than he's getting by in a changeup. Too much margin of error. Or too little margin of error.
So he's versus the Angels and then versus White Sox. Good to hear that he's, you know, being able to pull the string and get some ugly swings. But I'll probably give Wacha, I think he's on par with Zimmerman, I guess. So I'll give him a two.
I think he's a little more proven than Zimmerman. We did see this last year. He has had some success. So there's some pedigree. I'm going to give him a three.
Okay.
And a lot of that, too, is to do with the White Sox just not hitting.
Yeah, White Sox are pretty ugly all of a sudden. Chicago Cubs have two off days, so no starters for them. And then the Reds, oh, God, 3-16. Hey, as I made a terrible joke on Twitter, they're stone cold at 3-16.
Well, I mean, they've won three games. I mean, look at it that way. You know, the glass is 3/19 full.
It's ugly.
I got nothing, man. I got nothing.
I know. They're not even worth spending much time on. But in any other rotation, Vladimir Gutierrez would be on his way out. But I'd imagine it's Ravers San Martin who gets bumped whenever Luis Castillo.
Oh, man, I got San Martin this week. Did you?
No, I didn't get Martin.
Oh, gosh, I got San Martin. I think it's Tout Wars. It was in Tout Wars. And now, you know what? Now he's got one against Pittsburgh. I'm like, maybe I should leave him in one more time and I'll get crushed again.
Yeah, anyway, he gave what, 9 earned runs?
Oh, it was ugly.
Anyway. I got San Martin on the opening weekend of the season, but it was not 9 earned runs. It was like 4 or 5. But
yeah,
we'll see about when Luis Castillo's back. I guess I got a doubleheader next Saturday, so
yeah,
Reds will have to do something. They'll hopefully get Nick Lodolo back. We'll have to wait and see. But Vladimir Gutierrez is a hard zero for me. He's horrible since.
It's an easy zero for me.
Gutierrez.
Hard zero for you, easy zero for me.
Okay. Yeah, that's not how I meant hard. But yeah, Zach Plesac versus San Diego versus Toronto. 3.80 ERA. I guess I have Plesac in the Zimmerman Waka bucket, but I don't feel great about it. I'm going to give him a 2.
All right. A couple of home games. Toronto's a crusher. I'm with you with the 2. Yeah.
And then Herman Marquez goes on the road early next week. Then he's at home again. It feels like every start he's had so far has been at home. Tough to deploy, but I think he's a step up from the Zimmerman's Waka's Plesac for me. So I'm going to give Herman Marquez a 3. He hasn't been good at all though so far.
He's a barely a 1. I'm gonna go with 1, and it's just such a shame that he's such a good pitcher getting wasted.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think you're probably the more level-headed take there, but I know I have Marquez in the main event, so I might just have to.
There you go.
Might have to deploy him. My hope was that I would, you know, I'm gonna pick my spots right. I'm gonna extract so much value from Marquez. Well, easier said than done, and. Just a headache to bring onto your team. Dylan Cease versus the Angels at Boston. He's a 5 for me. I'm really excited about Dylan Cease.
He isn't. I need to check. I don't think he's going. I mean, it's not like you see Cease out there and you're expecting 6 innings just yet. I think that's coming. That's to me sort of the final step to getting to the next level. I'm gonna. Having said that, he pitched 6 innings last time. But it was against the Royals. I'm gonna go 4, but if it's like 4.499999. We're so close to rounding up to 5.
I hear you. Good to have a little, you know, differing opinion here on the show. So I got you marked down as a 4 on Cease. I'm a 5. And then Michael Pineda had a great 2022 debut, and then he kind of flopped and was at Minnesota. And really the big thing for me is, you know, 4 Ks in 10 innings. That's just, it's just not enough. So he's versus Pitt at Houston. You like that first one, but I think Pineda is probably a 1. Maybe a 2. I'm going to give him a 2.
Houston's starting to turn it on a bit. I'm going to agree with your 2.
Nice. And Jake Odorizzi, any reason to give him a shot here versus Seattle versus Detroit? Think this could be a bounce back week for Odorizzi, or are you hands off?
I am hands off, but can it be? You know what? I think you have to. I want to say, I think the numbers are going to say 2, but I want to say 1. I'm going to say 1.
Yeah, me too. And then that Greinke for Kansas City at St. Louis at Baltimore. I mean, I thought Michael Pineda's strikeouts are low, but Greinke's got 6 in 22 innings. 6 strikeouts and 4 starts. That's hard to do. And this version of Greinke's, I mean, he's having success regardless, but with that low of a K rate, he's borderline unplayable in the mixed league.
To a sane thinking individual, probably. I'm still just going to go 2, and that's probably 2 too many, but I am going to go 2.
I'm going to go 1 on Greinke, but I got you down as a 2. All right, real quick, we'll take care of a little bit of business here. A good piece of business, as old JR would say. Bet against others with no fees involved. That's right. No pesky hidden fees to ruin your day. Better Edge is a social betting marketplace where there's no fee on each transaction. Better Edge is a social betting marketplace, and chances are it's legal in your state. We bring betting back to its social roots where you can like, comment, and challenge other users all within the app. Play without getting played at Better Edge. Go to betteredge.com. That's BETTOREDGE.com to sign up today. Also, baseball is back. That's right, an entire glorious season, all 162 games. With live events resuming, you can actually be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. Every backdoor slider, every round tripper, and every doubleheader can be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you can start earning free tickets from your very first purchase. Just buy, collect stamps, and redeem. It's that easy. From behind the dugout to upper level, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the games that matter to you. And a little pro tip, buy tickets for your whole group, split the bill, and make progress towards your free ticket even faster. Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. All right, Todd, back to the two-star starters for next week, the week of May 2nd, 2022. Patrick Sandoval still has a perfect ERA, still spotless, and he fanned 9 his last time out, so 15 scoreless innings with a 20-6 K to walk so far. Is that good?
Yeah, that's good.
I think it's all right.
That's good.
So I'm going to give – I mean, Sandoval is a big helium guy coming in, and those who paid a sticker price and, you know, that increased cost late in draft season looking pretty darn smart. So I think, man, I guess given this start and he's got Washington for the second one, we just talked about how Chicago, the White Sox aren't scariest right now. I think he's a 5.
I'm going to go 4. I'm playing him everywhere, but he hasn't quite earned the 5 yet. I'm going to go 4.
I hear you. Well, two off days for the Dodgers next week, so no two-star starters for them. And meanwhile, Miami has a full 7-game week. So Pablo Lopez, Trevor Rogers, and Pablo's been unbelievable. He's like he's really an ace until the shoulder starts barking again. And Trevor Rogers had a big bounce back. So I think I'm going to go 5 on Lopez and 4 on Rogers.
Has anybody, I'm sure someone has, posted Lopez's numbers since the beginning of last year, knowing that he missed half the season? It's going to be they have to be pinball numbers.
Yeah, let me actually, because you know on our site, I know you know this, but you can click individual.
Yeah, you click the 2 years.
Yeah,
it's going to be a video game now. I mean, 2 point. Yeah, I mean, maybe even under 2. And it at this point, it'd be what? I don't know, 4 out of 6 months. So it's a pretty long time. But anyway, I'm going 5 with Lopez. I'm going to go 4 with Rogers, although right now he's showing. You know what? I'm going to go 5.
5 on Rogers?
Yeah, he's showing as a 5. I think he's proven a little bit more than I'm going to go 5 with Rogers.
Nice. So, yeah, looking at Patrick Sandoval. So
yeah, I meant to say more. Oh,
I'm sorry,
Sandoval.
Pablo Lopez.
Sandoval was the guy that I was stuttering on as far as trying to remember the name. So I think Rogers has had a little more success over his career than Sandoval. So he warrants the 5.
Yeah, and Pablo Lopez, I was just looking at, the last 2 years he's made 24 total starts, a 2.57 ERA, 1.05 whip.
That's not bad.
8-5 with 138 Ks and 126 innings. So, yeah, it really is just about health.
Yeah.
Performance is really, you can't really question performance with Pablo Lopez anymore.
Yeah.
Next up, the Milwaukee Brewers, Brandon Woodruff versus Cincinnati. He's already a 5. And then at Atlanta. So, yeah, that is.
You want to go 6 just because?
Yeah, Cincinnati? I think he's another one who broke the scale.
The spinal tap. We're going to spinal tap grade him.
It's like Kenny Omega. He breaks the scale.
There we go.
All right. Let's see. Yeah, that's a 5. And then Joe Ryan, man. Wow. I kind of wish I'd bought the hype a little bit because I wasn't really on him at that price. But the 1.17 ERA, he's at Baltimore versus Oakland. Doesn't get a whole lot better than that. So I think I got to give Joe Ryan the love he deserves and give him a 5.
You know, to stay consistent, I need to give him a 4 because he hasn't proven it.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of with you in the 5. Everybody knows I was on Bailey Ober in the offseason, in the drafting season. And you in a draft, you really couldn't get them both, Ryan and Ober, unless you took him at a turn. And then, you know, I'm not that dumb to take them both. But so I have more Ober than I do Ryan. But I did get Ryan in a couple spots just because I kind of held him in equal. They were very, very similar in that, you know, minor league numbers weren't great. The pedigree wasn't great, but the numbers were fantastic. Now, Ober was hurt. I'm not exactly sure if he's back, but Ryan, the deception. You always, whenever deception's part of the equation, you always wonder how long you can get away with it, especially when it's not, when he's not throwing hard. So that is the concern, but short term, run with it, go with it.
Yeah, you got to be over the moon if you invested there. I took him in one of my early drafting holds, and I kind of shied away. So kind of kicking myself not having more Joe Ryan. Chris Bassett and Carlos Carrasco, the regression monster bit Carrasco pretty hard.
But he's still pitching
8 runs, well. 7 earned, but number is still pretty decent overall.
No, I mean, just I look at the skills are still what I like. I mean, yeah. I still like the skills.
So I'm going to give Bassett versus Atlanta at Philly. I'm going to give Bassett a 4. And I'm going to give Carrasco a 3 just because after that lightest outing, I don't think he deserves the 5.
Well, there is a number between 5 and 3. So I'm going with 4. I'm going to go 5 with Bassett. And I'll admit, this comes from being higher on Bassett than the field the past couple of years. And that's not maybe because he's such a great pitcher as it is for fantasy relative, et cetera. So I get a kind of a soft spot for him. But, both of them, I still don't think the Mets offense is as good as it's playing. But, you know, they're backed by the team with the best record in the NL. You can't argue with it. It's the numbers. So that helps them both as well.
So you said Bassett 5 and 4. And 5 and 4. 4. All right. Yeah. Maybe it's 4 is a good middle ground.
You're probably all right. So if I'm doing the dumb joke again, it's 4.500001. Or 3.500001. It barely nipped up to the 4 range.
I just worry a little bit about Carrasco against Atlanta, and then at Philly, those are kind of tough matches.
Who does Atlanta have?
Just Ronald Acuna and Alves and Olsen.
Isn't baseball so weird? The two previous starts, he had 15 strikeouts and 2 walks in 12 2/3 innings. Then St. Louis, who can hit, but they're not that great, lights Carrasco up last time without a home run.
That's just
baseball.
Jordan Montgomery's been off to a nice start. He's at Toronto versus Texas, so he's got a 270 ERA. I think he's. I think he's like a notch below Chris Bassett, so I'm going to go 3. But would you maybe consider a 4 on Montgomery?
I mean, he's in the 5 range, but I have a hard time. It's kind of like I can't give anybody a 5 if they're at Colorado. I don't know if I can get anybody a 5 that's at Toronto.
Yeah.
But he comes out in the 5 range, and that's without adjusting innings. You know what? The heck with it. It's not Colorado. It's Toronto. I'm going to go 5.
Okay. Well, that's one where we're differentiating a fair amount, but I think of these like relative, and I have them a little bit below Bassett in my head, but maybe
as much as I like Bassett, Montgomery, to me, and this has to do with what we talk about every week. Yankee Stadium is not a huge hitter's park; it's a huge home run park, and now it's not. Not either.
With the potato ball, it's not really either.
The sad mush ball.
Yeah, do not taunt sad mushball. A's looks like, well, maybe they give Caprillion back. We're projecting James Caprillion back next week. So no 2 starters tentatively for them. I want to stress again that this is all tentative. And, making our best guesses here at RotoWire. But check out the grid closer to your fab run, rotowire.com/try for a free 10-day trial. And you can get the latest projected starters grid for next week. Ranger Suarez had a bit of a tough start, but he seems to be maybe coming around a little bit. Turned into quality starters last time out. So, he actually hasn't given up more than 3 earned runs in a start this year. He hasn't been that, like, wow, the breakout guy that some people thought maybe he could be, but I guess that's still lingering as a possibility. Versus Texas, versus the Mets, I like him as a 3, Ranger Suarez.
I like him as a 3. And, do we need a breakout? There's nothing wrong with just being good, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Coming from where he's coming from. I mean, if he's a solid 3, major league starter, I'll take that. And I think that's what we might get.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right that you don't need like a superstar turn from these guys, but there is a lot of found money, it seems like, right now on the pitching side, and Suarez just hasn't really differentiated himself, but maybe with versus
Texas.
He held
his own, right. If people expected the breakout, I think it was false expectations.
Yeah.
If people just expected him to be good, I think they're happy.
I think that's well put. For the Pirates, Bryce Wilson, I got to give him a zero, even though he does get the Reds in the second one. He's a zero.
The Pirates are beginning to be one of those clubs that are changing up like on the fly as far as who's opening, who's primary pitcher. You know, Wilson went from being the starter to the primary pitcher. So, I mean, just in general, I mean, I'm not changing a ranking, but they're now going to be one of those clubs we groan about and the interns that do the chart, you know, complain about. I'm giving them a zero as well, but that's what I've noticed with Pittsburgh so far is on a whim, they will alter kind of what Tampa did at the beginning.
Yeah, so consider the Pirates especially extremely tentative. The Padres will get Mike Clevinger back, it looks like. He completed his third rehab start on Wednesday. So
reached well, right, if I recall?
Yeah, reached the 80-pitch mark. So, yeah, it looks like that's a logical projection to project him back. So if he does start Tuesday, he would get at Cleveland versus Miami right away. The fact that he's built up is encouraging. He gets a little revenge game narrative to kick things off at Cleveland again, if that's the case, where he slots back in. I'm gonna give Clevinger a four, but we've seen five performance from him before.
I can't go four. I know he pitched 80 pitches, but the major leagues, the grinding and everything else, I'm gonna go three, and I think it might be generous for his first couple starts.
Yeah, I'm gonna go three too. You're right. We haven't seen that ace Mike Clevinger in a while, so
yeah. To me, I mean 80 pitches at the minor league level, I know there's no translation, but I mean it could be 65 in the, you know, as far as stress pitches and more balls and fouling balls off, etc., etc.
Marco Gonzalez, Chris Flexen for Seattle, they each line up for two, and at Houston versus Tampa Bay, I don't like it really for either of these guys, but I could see maybe some desperation cases. I think they're probably both ones. I've never been a big Flexen guy. But
well, I think he's – I mean, it's weird. I mean, Gonzalez is what he is, and that he's going to have great outings and then not so great outings. I'm going to give Gonzalez a two, and I'm going to about to make a mistake and say three for Flexen. I'm going to give him a three. I'm going to stick with it. I'm not going to be waffly. Well, I am waffly, but waffles. I'm going to go with three for Flexen. He teases this strikeout upside and then doesn't sustain it. Mm-hmm. So one of these days I'm going to go three, and it's probably a mistake.
For the San Francisco Giants, Jacob Junis. And when I was doing Fab for the Stake League last night, I was like, you know, doing your last 7 days, last 14 days, whatever, and Junis popping up high. So I need to see more, but maybe this is the latest Giants, rabbit out of a hat magic trick here with Jacob Junis. At the Dodgers versus St. Louis, I'm going to give him a zero, but Jacob Junis has my attention.
Who's probably the worst starting pitcher off the top of your head you can think of over the past couple of years? I'm asking you because I can't come up with a name because I'm a bozo. Whoever that might be, whoever you're out there thinking about the name, he goes to the Giants and he becomes a star. You know, I mean, it's
Keuchel,
just,
Dallas Keuchel.
Dallas Keuchel with the Giants would be, you know,
back to Cy Young.
Would be Madison Bumgarner. I'm going to give Junis, oh man, the matchups though. I'm going to give him a one because I could see bozo me starting him in at least one league just because I'm still in the aggressive mode. It's just at Dodgers a little bit scary.
I picked up Steven Matz in one of my leagues because he was cut, and the underlying numbers are somewhat encouraging. So he's versus KC at San Francisco. And meanwhile, for in the Dakota Hudson, it's at KC. Kind of weird how that works. And then at San Francisco, I know you're not a big Hudson guy, but he has been pitching pretty well. I'm going to give Matz and Hudson, I think, threes here.
Matt's a three. Hudson, I'm going to go two, but you're probably right. If one of the reasons that I'm giving Matt's a three is Busch Stadium and a good defense, then Hudson deserves that same line of reasoning. But I'm not giving it to him. No, I'm just being a little goofy. No, I'm going to being a lot goofy today. This is not going to be DJ's not going to put this in for podcast of the year, is he?
I think we're safe on that.
We're going to do another one? Okay, good. I hope Eric's not listening to this. Eric called to me. He said, this is what I'm going to be working with now? Man, sorry. I'm going to give Hudson a 2.
Okay, I got you down for a 2. All right, so Tampa Bay Rays, Drew Rasmussen, Ryan Yarbrough. Yarbrough's, does he hurt? Because, yeah, he was in a rehab outing, so he's on the IL right now. Has not pitched in the majors so far this year. So he's like a 0 until I see how stretched out he is. But we saw that like, what, 17-game win season from Ryan Yarbrough not too long ago. Yeah. So he's at least a guy we're going to have to keep tabs on. But he's a 0 until I see how stretched out he is. I guess he threw 59 pitches yesterday in a rehab outing. So he needs to get stretched out a little more. So that's a 0. Drew Rasmussen still intrigues me. I don't think I can go higher than 2, though, for Rasmus.
Wow. We have our first major differentiation. I got Rasmus as a 5.
Wow. And so I had Oakland at Seattle.
Matchups have a little something to do with it. But, I mean, he's just good.
He really ratcheted up the Ks his last time out. So
he doesn't have a 5-pitch arsenal. I mean, you know, it is kind of still a converted reliever arsenal, but he just is so good with it. And it may be a bit of a leap of faith that he finally went 6 innings last time. So I'm thinking, all right, he's now good for 6. I mean, you mentioned ratcheted up the Ks. I mean, the previous he had 4 and 3 innings. I mean, so he was 1 inning. The first 2 starts weren't so good. I'm going to stick with it, even though, I mean, he's top 5 on the list so far. So I can't not go 5.
Yeah, his first 3 starts, he struck out 9 over 12 innings, and then he had 9 over 6 his last time out. So
yeah,
hard for me to figure out. You made a good case. I'm going to bump him up to 3, but I got you down as a 5.
Yeah, so. No, that's good.
Yeah, 2 is a little too low. I didn't realize just how stellar he was this last time out. 2 hits, 1 walk over 6.
I may have been too high on him coming in. We're still on the baseline. I mean, and I know he wasn't going to repeat last year. You know, sub 3 RA, but I do think he's pretty good.
Not a 2-start starter next week, but any interest at all in Glenn Otto on the Rangers? He's a Alex Chamberlain guy.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. And whether it was Alex or someone else I do know he was a few NFBC people were interested in him. Texas actually has a few pitchers where when they first came up, they were terrible, and they didn't have a whole lot of prospect to plume, so you really weren't on them just by the name. But you kind of have to go back. AJ Alexi and Taylor Hearn, they're all kind of in that. They're not bad. They're not top prospects, so you can't just remember what they did their first time through in Texas and categorically dismiss them. But I do, to answer your question, finally, yes, I have an interest. Am I going to plant my flag on Otto? No, but I absolutely have an interest.
Yeah, 10-3K to walk in his brief sample at the big league level this year. And yeah, he had a tough test against Houston, and while he didn't go 5, he didn't make it deep enough to qualify for the win. I thought he, you know, passed that test pretty well. Two earned runs.
I had him in DFS that night, which I was a little bummed out, but he didn't hurt me that much.
Yeah, I'm with you. Definitely got to keep an eye on. For the Blue Jays, Ross Stripling, Alec Manoah. Alec Manoah is a rock solid 5 at this point. Loving having a lot of Alec Manoah on my teams. And Stripling, you know, he was kind of a fantasy, you know, mixed league guy when he was with the Dodgers. But since moving to Toronto, he's really been up and down. So versus the Yankees at Cleveland, I can't really see any situation where I'm starting Ross Stripling. So maybe he's a 1, but iffy.
This is going to sound so bad because I'm so gullible. The only way I would, you know, if you would listen to his interview on MLB radio earlier today, you'd be starting him. But then I'm with any time I listen to a pitcher talk, I get intrigued and I want that guy's good.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah, well, just because you can talk about your pitching and stuff doesn't mean you can execute. What I found interesting was the Dodgers, when they first got him, he said he was a low ball pitcher. And then, you know, with the whole launch angle revolution, they made him into a high, you know, into a, you know, successful high ball pitch, you know, keep the ball up on the zone. And now he, with Toronto, he's mixing the two together. So, you know, on paper, wow, that sounds great. You're going to be really, really good. Well, you still have to execute your pitches. And I did see him, you know, you talk about the Reds. I mean, the Red Sox have won a couple more games, but my guys aren't exactly crushing it. So, you know, 1-0 yesterday. You mentioned Manoa. I'm going to go with a 1, but it's a head to head. The other guy's got, you know, 10 starts and I have 6, kind of a 1.
Yeah, it's that one is a desperation one, but sometimes you're in that spot even this early in the season. Eric Fetty, I don't see as a desperation one because he's got Colorado in Colorado to start. So, he's got a 6 ERA. I can't see it. So I'm going to give Fetty a 0.
I agree. I mean, we could have a conversation if there were 2 starts and one wasn't so bad. It wouldn't be very long. You'd go 0. I'd say maybe 1, but this one's easy. This is 0-0.
All right. Well, that'll do it. So we'll recap these grades, and I will post these grades under the show notes, so you can check them out there as well. So to recap, our 0-5 grades for 2-start starters for the week of May 2nd, 2022. Zach Gallen, 5. Charlie Morton, I say 4. Todd, 5. Tyler Wells, 0. Bruce Zimmerman, I say 2. Todd, 1. Michael Wacha, I say 2. Todd, 3. Vladimir Gutierrez, 0. Zach Plesac, 2. Herman Marquez, I say 3. Todd, only 1 there. Dylan Cease, I say 5, Todd 4. Michael Pineda, 2. Jake Odorizzi, 1. Zach Greinke, I say 1, Todd 2. Patrick Sandoval, I say 5, Todd 4. Pablo Lopez, 5. Trevor Rogers, I say 4, Todd 5. Brandon Woodruff, 5. Joe Ryan, I say 5, Todd 4. Chris Bassett, I say 4, Todd 5. Carlos Carrasco, I say 3, Todd 4. Jordan Montgomery, I say 3, Todd 5. Ranger Suarez, 3. Bryce Wilson, 0. Mike Clevenger, 3. Marco Gonzalez, I say 1, Todd 2. Chris Flexen, I say 1, Todd 3. Jacob Junis, 0, Todd 1. Steven Matz, 3. Dakota Hudson, I say 3, Todd 2. Ryan Yarbrough, 0. Drew Rasmussen, I say 3, Todd 5. Alec Manoa, 5. Ross Stripling, 1. Eric Fetty, 0. Great stuff today, Todd. Again, appreciate you making time to fit this in, even with your move. Congrats on the successful move. And look forward to talking with you again next week. Anything else you want to mention?
How would we grade this podcast 0-5?
I think this one was a solid 3.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. You know what it is? I mean, being so silly. I'm out of shape. I've been climbing up and down stairs for the past 2 days. What's that? Is it testosterone? What is it that you generate? You know, I mean, I'm tired, but the
adrenaline,
some level of something has gone up. And because I don't drink Mountain Dew anymore. I drink Fresca now because my soda stream's still at the other place. I have to move it over. I know I should drink water. Don't at me, you know, whatever. I drink more water than I drink more goofy soda than I should. But yeah, I think whatever it is that, you know, from doing the working, from climbing up and downstairs, that level is up, and maybe you like it, but I just feel weird.
Well, I hope you can kind of, you know, kick your feet up and relax, take it easy on yourself a little bit this week.
I get a weekend of moving because, I mean, I had a professionals, and they couldn't move the elliptical, so I tried to figure out what to do with that. But, you know, $200 an hour, whatever it was. I mean, I'm not that old yet. I can still do something. So I tried to save a few hours of their work and do it myself. So 2 floors of flight to get to the old place, third floor here. So, you know, this body's doing a little damage.
Well, I hope the rest of the move goes well, man. And, you know, let us know if you need anything from us. We're here to help. So
you want an elliptical? Can you take an elliptical?
I probably need one. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being with us. And yeah, no MLB Network show tomorrow, but then Todd will be back there with their
And there's no fantasy tomorrow, right? With the draft?
No, yeah. So we're preempted both on Fantasy Network and MLB Network.
Yeah, be back with Jeff on Sunday.
Sounds good, man. Well, yeah, catch you guys soon. Hope you'll join us next week on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast.